Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
In Joshua chapter 1, God is really, through the leadership, through Joshua, getting his people ready to cross over. And he speaks about Moses, his servant is dead, and now it's time for Joshua to go in and possess the land. And so there's a kind of end of one season and coming into another. And we know that almost the first 10 years we celebrated so well a couple of months ago, has now come into a new, completely new season. And the season actually has been marked with this unusual release of what God has provided for us to see and to go in and possess in terms of the building. But in verse 6, let's just read this, the instructions that God speaks to Joshua. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's wonderful words of encouragement from God for us today. That we are to be strong, to be very courageous, and to understand that God has a place for us to move into, where we know that that place will include greater fruitfulness, it will include increase of the kingdom, signs and wonders, all the powerful works of God that we're going to see up ahead. But we also know that actually he wants us to be envisioned with something that we're to move into, to go into a new season. And the only way you can move into something new in God is with faith. You see, a building should not just be a natural move, a shift of locations. God always wants us to operate out of faith, understanding purpose and having vision for what he wants to lead us into. And so God is calling us to accept that there is a mandate on us as a church, a mandate upon us as a believer, to move constantly by faith into new things and to see the dimension of faith operating in reality, of possessing, taking hold of things for God. And the instructions, apart from some majoring on encouragement from the Lord, God says to Joshua, I want you to keep the word of God constantly in your mouth, to meditate on it day and night. Because if you observe or do what is written in the word, you will make your way prosperous. You will succeed. Now, it's fascinating he didn't talk to him about his kind of bank account. He didn't talk about his weapons. He didn't talk about his ability to build a bridge to get over the Jordan. He said, I want you to be so immersed in my word, because it's my word that makes you prosperous as a people. Isn't that simple? It's my word that makes you win in life, makes you succeed and come into new things of fruitfulness. It's my promises in you, in your mouth, meditating on them, speaking them over your own mind and heart, that you eventually get them in you so that it becomes inherent in you to believe. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he says, I don't just want you to read the word. I want you to meditate on it and speak it. But I don't just want you to meditate and speak it. I want you to do it. So he doesn't just stop with reading the word. He doesn't just stop with mentally agreeing with God's word. He goes into, I want you to allow my word, my good promises to become so planted in your heart, so part of you, that you think my word, you speak my word, and you know what to do according to my word in every situation. So he's saying to Joshua, everything you do must be from the written word put in you. Isn't it interesting? He's not super spiritualizing. An angel's not gonna, you don't need an angel, you need the word. You don't even need an experience. You need the word of God. And if you meditate on it day and night and observe to do what it says to do, then you will be prosperous and succeed. And so coming into, crossing over the Jordan into the promised land, into the things that God has promised, it requires faith. We know they messed up 40 years before this event because of unbelief. Unbelief said, it's too big, we can't do it. Faith said, I've meditated on the word so much, we're well able to do it. God has given us the land, it's ours. And so such a different response in Joshua and Caleb to those who actually then ended up taking God's people around the wilderness until those who were part of that move died. And the Joshua and Calebs went in. And we've got to be a Joshua and Caleb church. Every church needs to be, but I'm speaking to us today. We must be a people who believe and say, I'm not just going to meditate on it. I'm going to act. I'm going to do the word. You see, when we do what is written, it changes us from what James says, just hearers only. Because if all we do is hear the word and not put it into practice, we deceive ourselves, James says. We actually think we are being amazing Christians, but we're deceived because we're not doing anything. So faith will always be resulting in action. It will never be, to believe is a doing word. To have faith or to believe is a word that is of activity, not a passive lay back and let God do it. And that's the difference between Joshua coming in to possess the land. He was a doer, not just a hearer only. And the scripture, the promise in James is, if you are a doer, if you meditate on the perfect law of liberty, look into this like a mirror until it becomes what you think, see, and feel, and know, then you will enter in. You will be blessed in what you do. Phenomenal promise. But we can miss out on taking hold of what God's got for us if we miss out on the doing. To me, I was just kind of listing this out to make it a very simple message this morning. To do the word means to act on it. So to give thanks means you actually do it. I can know that in the word, that the word of God says give thanks in all circumstances. So because that's what the word says. But if I don't do it, I'm actually not believing. I've become a religious believer. Because the power is only in doing. I can't believe for yesterday. I was saved when I was 27. There was one time, Ephesians speaks about two kinds of faith. That when you heard the word of truth and you believed, you were saved. There's another kind of faith that is a continuing faith. Now we live by faith, don't we? So every day we need our faith to live. Is that right? We can't live on yesterday's faith because yesterday's faith is not going to help us with power today. And the power is in believing God now. I can believe for what God will do, but I need to believe now so it will happen. And remember, believe is doing. So to act on the word means to do something, to put in motion something. So I will give thanks today. Because I'm a believer. I'm a doer of the word. And I will be blessed if I do that. Just by giving thanks, I'm going to be blessed. Not just hearing it, it's doing it. Whoa, power. The Holy Spirit starts to work in my life. And I just feel the power of God transforming me. Just that's one simple example. You need to put legs on the word. So in other words, you need to put something in motion. It's like, if I just stand and read my word in the morning and then kind of put it to one side, that's why God said to Joshua, don't turn away from it. So you just put it down and, right, what should we do today? It's like, I need to put legs on what I believe every day. So I put legs on when I meet with God in the morning and pray. That's putting legs on what I believe. God is in the secret place and he hears me. I put legs on if I cast all my cares unto him because he cares for me. And don't worry about anything. And give him all my concerns. I'm putting legs on what I believe. God is able to answer. I put legs on every time I give an offering or tithe. I'm putting legs on what I believe. Every time I come to church to worship God, I believe. Every time I sing a song, lift my hands, I believe. I'm putting legs on what I'm doing, what I believe. It's good, isn't it? Believing is a life of action on what God has said to do. At the beginning of the year, God gave us a word. Everything will be all right for those who do my word. It was his word to us as a church. Everything. Everything. Your life would encompass that, wouldn't it? Your kids, your family, your job, your money, your future, your relationships, whatever. Everything will be all right for those who do my word. And you see, there is a poverty, there is a powerlessness when we don't do it. We don't see the power of God in operation in our lives when we don't put into practice what we hear. But when we do put it into practice, we see the Jordan parted. We see Jericho's walls come down. And we see the whole land taken hold of for the kingdom of heaven. So it's an encouragement to Joshua. Don't just hear it. Don't just meditate on it. But actually do what you read in my word. And to do means to keep on doing. It's like a continuous life of action. That is a believer. Not from an idea of my own, not through kind of panic mode where I'm rushing around trying to do everything, but just simply putting to practice what God says to do. Just as Mary said about Jesus, the first miracle that he did, changing water into wine, the miracle was, and it happened because she said, everything he tells you to do, do it. And what happened? The water changed to wine. Everything Jesus says to do, do it. Sorry, it's such a simple message, but actually it's the power. It's the power of the church in putting into practice what God says to do. Turn just over to Hebrews chapter 6. Because this teaches us really how we see the promises come to pass. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. We don't like kind of sometimes this message. We'd rather everything was instant, but this teaches us how to hang in there till the end. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We don't want you to be lazy, but we want you to imitate those. He's talking about living people. He wants you to imitate people who show a life of faith and endurance. So don't imitate people who give up. Just sorry, but that's, if I put it the other way, don't go, oh, let's spend and just reduce my life to those who give up. Imitate, that means pattern. Do what they do and keep going until you get it. And this word actually shows us how to inherit the promise, to actually get what God has said. This book is full of exceedingly great and precious promises. It's absolutely full of good things. And through faith and patience, we get them. Isn't that brilliant? We can know how to see the promises happen in our lives through faith and patience. Now remember, faith is hearing what God is saying, believing what God's word, acting on it. That's faith. Faith is a doer of the word. But it's somebody who does it and does it and does it with patience and endurance until you get it. So you don't just give up, but you continue to act on what God says he will do. You will get it. Now the testing comes in the continuation. Because actually getting faith is pretty easy. Meditate on the word and you'll get faith. Because faith comes from hearing. If you meditate on the word long enough for it to be planted in your heart, you'll get faith. God wants you to be full of faith. And Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And the Holy Spirit will help you when you meditate on the word, and you're going to come to faith. Faith isn't really a problem for those who do that. It's only a problem for those who have no reference point to the word and want you to pray for them. But faith is not a problem for somebody who's understanding the principle of meditating on the word day and night until you get it. The challenge is, and I have to speak my experience too, is persevering. Enduring. That is the hardest point. Because to keep going and acting is not easy. But isn't it interesting in this scripture, it starts off with, we don't want you to be lazy. Now, I've been tempted to be lazy. Have you? Like, lazy. I'd much rather sometimes to be a lazy believer would be the kind that works. But it doesn't. So in other words, over the last, at least intensified over the last 5 years, looking for a building, I'd love to have been lazy many times. And not pursued, gone out, looked at, kept acting on what I believed, what we believed. Because I wanted it to just land on my plate. In fact, I'd like a letter from God one morning to say, boom, boom, here's your building. But it just didn't happen. I wish it had happened like that. The thing that I got was the word. And that's like getting the building when you've got the word. You receive by faith what God wants to give, and then you act on it. And so for 5 years, you keep going and going. I honestly would say, and we were counting this morning, it felt like 100, but Sandra corrected me, probably 50. 50 buildings is a lot of buildings, plus all those on the internet, to look at and to go out for. Brian, I don't know, you talk to him later how many he's seen. He said the other day, I really know Taunton. I've got to know Taunton so well by going around looking. And the endurance side to your faith in the promises of God, I'm not just speaking about us possessing a building, I'm talking about every promise. The endurance side is important, that you don't stop doing the word, acting on what God has said, because you will come into what God has said if you keep going. Don't give up. Continue to make a choice to act. Don't be lazy. Sit on the sofa and say, well, if God's going to do it, well, let it land on me then. That's passive faith, but only active faith possesses the promises. So work with the word. Let the promises actually activate your life to move towards the goal. You remember that Isaac in Genesis 26, he was living with a promise, because that's, as a church and as God's people, we must always be living with a promise. Because, you know, that's how we live. We live with promises to see them fulfilled. And Isaac had a promise that God was going to bless him in the land. He wanted to move out, but God says, I want you to stay. And I'm going to bless you if you do life my way. And so Isaac sowed in the land, in Genesis 26. And that's where we read about how he dug this well, because his livestock got so many, he got so big, he needed to move and dig another well. But that got blocked up. He moved on, dug another well. That got blocked up. He moved on. And eventually, he said, the Lord has made room for us. Now we're going to be fruitful in the land, because there was room for growth. But what if he'd stopped at the second well and said, right, that's it. I'm not playing this faith thing. Does not work. It doesn't work doing the word. I've tried it. How long for? How long? You got to keep going until you see the answer. The Apostle Paul, he knew he was called to preach the gospel. And in Acts 16, we read about his attitude to go anywhere to see people saved. And I believe that's an attitude that must grab all of our hearts. Go anywhere to reach somebody with the gospel. And Paul is in the night, he gets a vision from God, and he gets the answer. But before the vision came, he was pushing doors. Is it this one? Is it this one? I want to go this way. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you mustn't go that way. I want to go this way. No, you mustn't go that way. And then the Lord gave him a vision and said, this is the way, move in that area. And over the last 5 years, we have had the ministry of shut doors. The ministry of things not happening like we thought they would. But the thing about life of faith is you just got to continue to believe what God says and act on it. Even in the worst moments where you have no seeming strength left, act on what God said. And you will see eventually what God has promised come to pass. Turn just quickly over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. Isn't the word of God exciting? By faith and patience we inherit. By faith and endurance. Thank God for his strength to endure. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for his strength. Would you? He gives us the ability even to keep going. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus is speaking to the church of Philadelphia, and he says, write this down. These are the words of him who's holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you, Kingdom Faith Southwest, and every individual, an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you've kept my word and not denied my name. I think we probably fit into the little strength bit sometimes, do you? You've had little strength, but you've kept my word. What does that mean? You kept doing what you believed. And you haven't denied my name, my ability, my power. My power is greater. And this starts with, in Revelation 3, this vision of Jesus. He's the head of the church. He's the head of this church. He is faithful and true. That means he can never ever let us down on what he has said he will do. His faithfulness is so tied up with his promises, because he's faithful to keep his promises and to perform every word that he speaks. And he is true. So if he says it, he means it. That's why we need to be filled with the word. It is written, because we know what he says. And we know he means it. He's faithful to his promises, and he's absolutely true. So every time we see disappointment, we say, it only reflects God's faithful and true, and he closes doors so that I will eventually get to the open door. Anyway, this really helped me. Because it's the only way into seeing the life promised for us in terms of the future promises of God for our lives, seeing faith and patience and endurance working. But he is faithful. He placed before us an open door, 50 closed. And I remember the Monday morning, 4 weeks ago, when Pastor Angie and I started our meeting early Monday morning after a 7 o'clock meeting. We started at 9 together. And we're getting together to pray. And I said, look, let's have another go today. I've seen something. Sandra, would you ring and get an appointment? That started it. It was 51. I didn't get an angel. I didn't get a goosebumps. I just kept going. And to be honest, I didn't want to. Has anybody ever been in that situation? To be honest, it was like, here we go again. But it was like the Holy Spirit almost won't let you go until you see. He is wanting to fulfill, and he lives in us to see what God has spoken come to pass. And you know, this building is only to raise up an exceedingly great army. And that word will happen. We're going to love the building. Loads of people are going to love it. But I love more the fact that it serves to raise an exceedingly great army. And we have little strength. But we've kept his word, not denied his name, and he set before us an open door. And no planning can stop it. No demon can stop it. We will go through and take possession of the land. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we need to keep on acting. And if you're listening today, your personal promises. Well, hang on. The word, your personal promises. They're all yours. They all belong to everybody in Christ. Whoever belongs to Jesus has every promise that's theirs. Keep acting. Keep doing what God says. Even if you encounter shut doors. Say, Lord, I thank you for the shut door because it means I'm not supposed to be there. I thank you that you're leading me even by that. Because he's a good shepherd. He's not playing with us. He's leading us. Praise God for his faithfulness. And if you have no strength and you lose the excitement of that Monday morning, I wasn't, ooh, let's look at another building. You know, we got to get off the hype of feelings. It's nice to have feelings. But we live by faith, which means we act on what God says. It's fantastic when you get into a place where you feel. And when we as a church go in, we will feel it. It'll be a party time. But the work of God is accomplished by faith, not feelings. This is the work, Jesus says, is that you believe in the one who I sent. That's the work of God, to believe. Only believe, then you will see the glory of God. And so faith is this not having to feel it, not having to see anything, just to keep going, believing what God has said until you come into, take possession of what God wants to give us. He gives the grace to keep going. And that's why we need the constant relationship with Jesus. Because without daily relationship with Jesus Christ in a real way, you will lose the strength to go on. Every day, I communicate with him and he communicates with me. Every day, I hear his voice. He encourages me on a daily basis. I'm the most encouraged person Because I pray. Not because 50,000 people says today I'm okay, but because God himself is my encourager. And that grace constantly comes, as Pastor Andrea led this morning, come before the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help. We receive God's grace every day. We come before his presence, his face. We seek him. We say, you're Lord. You're the shepherd of our lives. I'm not God. You are. You can open any door, anywhere. What you shut, nobody can open. There's no point me running at a door that is not going to open. Let me give up and say, you're God. But not give up believing and acting on what you say. And staying encouraged with strength and grace to continue to serve God with what he has said. With faith and patience, you will inherit your promises personally. Is that brilliant? Faith and patience, doesn't matter what area of your life you're looking at that looks barren, the word of God will change it to fruit. Doesn't matter how bad the job scene looks, God's word will produce a job. Doesn't matter what you see isn't happening. God's word in you. Meditate on it day and night and act on it. And you will make your way prosperous. We are going to cross over, guys. Just finish with Joshua chapter 1. Are you okay? Are you in faith? Are you understanding the ways of God? Thank you, Jesus. Everything will be all right for those who do the word and don't give up. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 10. We'll finish with this one. So, we're going over the land, we're crossing over the Jordan. Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here and go in and take possession of the land the Lord God is giving you for your own. I like the for your own. He's saying it's not just the Lord's, it's ours. I like that. It's our building, it's his, but it's ours. Because we belong to him anyway. Go in, cross over, get ready. Now, it's like God required Joshua as a leader to say, come on guys, it's time to get ready. And that's really what I believe this morning is all about. Understanding how faith and patience and endurance has worked and how will always work. But I also want us to understand how we need to get ready to move. And whether it happens in 2 months or 3 months, I'm hoping that's the maximum time it'll take for us to be in. It's good, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, it's not a year. But we would need endurance for that one. But I think, I believe, you know, we believe in God, aren't we, together. It's our faith. It's not just our faith as a leadership, it's ours. And it's our building. Please, yes, thank you. Thank you, Paul and Fran. Thank you. It's us. But it's like, this is the message. Get your supplies ready. So you're going to have to pack up the sound. You're going to have to get the chairs out of the mission center. We're going to have to get everything together to go over, cross over, and possess and get into this new place that God is giving. Your supplies also do mean finances. And I believe there's going to be a great release of joyful giving. I want to emphasize joy. Because I can think of no greater honor than to sow into something that isn't just for this generation. It's for God's glory in future generations. And you will catch much more of the vision when we are able to share with you exactly the place that where the building is. But just turn over to Corinthians about giving, just to finish with getting our supplies ready. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 And verse 10, get your supplies ready. So, biblically, it also means finances, doesn't it? Get your money ready, guys. Oh, happy day. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Brilliant. Fantastic scripture, this. Just let me say a few things. To get our supplies ready means that God's already supplied it. Okay? He who supplies. So everything we have is already from God. The house I live in is from God. He's my supplier. The job, they just employ me. My provider is God. He's the supplier of everything I have. Now there are two aspects of this scripture. He supplies bread for eating and seed for sowing. So bread is for you to eat. And if you don't eat, you won't live. So part of God's supply in your life is for you to live. To pay your bills and to ensure that your family is fed, watered and clothed. Yeah? That's the provision. One aspect of bread. Bread we eat, don't we? Seed is the extra that you have. And I would say we all have extra. I was surprised at the fly guys at camp. Some of them had 60-70 quid spending money extra. I'm like, that's extra. Some of these guys are rich. You know, you just go around, wow, how many donuts have you had today? Oh, I've still got loads of money left over. I've just had 10. You know, they've haven't spent all my, it's £10 a day. I can spend 10 quid a day. Brilliant. So, you know, that seed, it's what you choose to do with it. It's your preference, your choices. But that part of it will actually, if you sow that, is for increase. Of course, we know that we totally believe the word of God in tithing. So tithing is for God. It doesn't even belong to you to decide really in one aspect of what you're doing. It belongs to God already. Your tithe belongs to the Lord. That's why it says, speaks about robbing God if you don't give your tithe, which is 10%. So I've decided not to rob God. I've decided it isn't good. But the seed is over and above what you can give. Now, I've already, praise God, as leaders, we go ahead of the game in one sense. So it has its advantages and its disadvantages, but I've really sought how to get my seed ready, get my supplies ready to pay for what I can pay for. But if you only have £100 seed, it's all you can give. But if you have 100,000, it's all you can give. Both are good. You understand? It's all down to what you actually have. I can't give what I don't have. But God has supplied bread and seed. And now I have that free will choice to actually say, actually, do you know what? I really want to give. I had planned to do something with money before I found out about the building. I've redirected it and it's going into the building. That's what I can do. I can only do what I do, to sow seed into the building. So my supply, I'm getting it ready. And God is saying to us as a church, and I believe even the children, even the fly kids, that get your supply ready. Come on, see the vision that you're going to pay for something glorious. It's going to be worth adding your bit to. I mean, in the New Testament, there's one guy called Barnabas, he sold land. Well, there were quite a few that sold land, houses. If you've got a house to sell, praise God. If it's seed you can sell, do it. And if you haven't got it, don't. If you haven't got it, give what you can give. But understand that the supplies are all part of entering the land, getting into what God has spoken. And the promise is God will actually increase your store of seed. So there's going to be an increase through giving. So you can only be more blessed by giving. Thank you, Jesus. Let's carry on reading this because then we're going to finish. Verse 12, this service you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. This is all talking about money. It's not talking about anything else but finances. So speaking about your kind of overflowing offering, your giving, your generous, loving, willing hearts. And verse 14, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So we finish really with thanks be to God for Jesus, the indescribable gift. But we are to now get ready to cross over. And this is where I believe God wants us to prepare our hearts and to prepare an offering for the 11th of September. And it really cannot be the wrong kind of pressure, but I believe the Holy Spirit sometimes does put a bit of kind of conviction on to say, actually, you could give that. Be willing to give this up so that you can give that. And I actually believe that if it costs you something, it'll be a worthy offering. I actually believe, see, if it doesn't cost me anything, it's just like normal life. But if I actually have to give up something for this, I believe it's going to actually, the spirit behind taking possession is going to be sacrificial. And wherever there's sacrifice, there's fire. God's spirit comes down where he sees sacrifice. And so I believe in a generosity that spills into sacrifice into every family, every single person, and every young person in this church. I'm going to believe God for that because that will supply what is needed to see us actually take possession of this building. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.